Happy Sabbath.
It is a happy Sabbath. We're all here. It's good to see you all. Seems like it's been a while. It has. Couldn't get rid of Charlie. He kept hanging around. But it's good to see you all. I hope you all had a great feast. I know we did down in Florida. A little wet, but a great feast. Probably the worst weather I think I've ever had in Florida. Turned chilly even. I mean, it turned chilly down there. 50 degrees down there over the water is cold, you know. So, but it's good to be back, and it's good to see you all. I did stop by and see Ron and Carolyn Walters this week. Carolyn's sleeping between 18 and 20 hours a day, and she's starting to get weaker. She wants to thank all of you for the cards and calls. And then she has a special one for Jerry here because I haven't seen Jerry and Frank before I went up, and they sent her some Buckeyes. She's lucky she got them. But they gave me some too, or she probably wouldn't have. No. But please continue your prayers for them. It's definitely a hard thing to see. It's hard sometimes on the mate also, you got to realize, because anytime you have a serious injury, any type of sickness, why, they go through it too because they don't get sleep, they don't get rest, their schedule's messed up also, and of course they're praying a lot and worrying about their mate. So please keep all of them in mind. Also, I'd like for you to keep Richard Markland in line. I went down with Paul and Trevor Markland this past week to see him, and he needs your prayers. Okay, he's having some personal problems, so please be with him, pray for him. He's being transferred to London. Prison here shortly, which would be a shorter trip for Paul and Treva, which is good. But be sure and keep him in your prayers. None of us understand what it's like to be locked up in prison. I hope not, anyhow. I was in the service. It wasn't quite as bad as prison, but, you know, when I was a kid, I used to hear kids come out of school and say, "Buddy, I'm leaving home. I'm going to go to the service. I'm tired of being told what to do." Just showed how we kids are not very smart, because then they tell you 24/7. Any of you been there know that. So if you will, please keep Carolyn and Ron in mind, and keep Richard in mind, and all the others who are sick. You know, Sandy and Ken and all the others. We have so many people sick right now, and we get more people every week come across that need prayers. So please be sure and keep them in mind. We're supposed to be taking care of our brothers and sisters, and the way we take care of them is thinking about them, praying about them, and giving of our time to them through prayers. It's very important, because the more prayers we have for our brothers and sisters and others, the more he hears, and hopefully we'll have more healings. So I want you to know one thing. What's the name of this hurricane? Patricia. I live with a Patricia. I want to tell you. I told her she's the number one hurricane already. First thing I told her this morning, I said, "Pat, you're the number one hurricane now." Today I want to talk to us about going forward to God's kingdom. You know, we've been to the Feast of Tabernacles. We know God's plan. We realize we're a part of it. We start out the Feast of Trumpets. That's the time you and I are looking forward to being with Christ. And if we're there, we finished the job. We've ran the race. We're going to be in God's kingdom. Then we meet God the Father. We're with him. He puts away Satan for a while. And we're being trained to help those, the Feast of Tabernacles, those who have come through horrific times. Only someone who has been through a war will have any general idea how bad it can be. Because there's things that's going to happen there. Thousands will die. Thousands will starve. Millions will starve when it gets right down to it. You need to read about it in Revelation, what it talks about. Revelation 3:10, I'm not going to turn there, but it's one of my father-in-law's favorite scriptures, 3:10-11. And the thing you and I have to really worry about is because we have a devil who hates you and me. As long as we are serving God and obeying God, Satan hates us, and he wants to destroy you and me. Always remember that our service to God is between you and God. It's personal. You and I have to answer to God personally. And God has given you and I what? A way out if we repent. But my father-in-law's favorite scripture was, and this happens to a lot of people, and you'll see it in the church of split up, let no man take your crown. In Cogwa, when they split, many people went because of who? Relatives. Because someone talked to them. One of these days, our relatives are going to be telling us not to go, not to do. Stay here. Everything's fine. And it's not going to be. So today I want us to look at going forward to God's kingdom, because that's the exact calling that you and I have. God didn't call us to sit on our duffs. God didn't call us to say, well, I'm okay. Or as the prodigal people do out in the world, once saved, always saved. Not true. If you're baptized, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of saying, I love God, I love your ways, and I want to be with you. Help me change, help me to grow, and help me do your will. Help me to become more like you, that I may be an example to the world, as that's what you're training me to do. We are to be doers. James 1:22. Won't turn to it. You've heard it many times. We are to be doers of God's work, God's way, every day of our life. It's not where you work hard 1 week, 2 weeks, and take a 2 week break. It doesn't work that way. What if he comes during the time you take the 2 week break? No one knows the day or time except God the Father. He's the one that sets it. Now, we know things have to be done. And we know that there's certain progress and things. So we need to be alert and be aware. We need to be watching what's going on in our country, around the world. Don't hide from it. Don't say, well, you know, it'll get better. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Good times in the United States, because our rebellion to the living God, is starting to end. Now, whether that's going to take place in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, I don't know. But I do know one thing. He says he will return, and he's going to return, and we better be ready. We better not be taking that 2 week break. Because if so, we can work all these years and lose it in 1 week. We can lose it in 1 hour when you really think about it. You and I have been privileged and blessed to know God's way of life. And I want to tell you, it is a blessing for each and every one of us. And if we do not believe that, then we need to be studying more, a whole lot more. Because if you look at the world around us, they see all this happening. And guess what? They have no hope. They delude themselves with saying, well, it'll get better. It always does. Well, we can't fail as the United States because we're too big. We're too good a people. Well, they've been deluded because we all live in Satan's world. If you remember back in Psalms 51, David talks about what? He was born into sin. Every one of us has been born in this sinful world. Every one of us. There's only one reason you and I are here today. That's because God instructed Jesus Christ that he's calling us through him. And we have an understanding that the rest of the world has no idea about. And we have problems. We have trials. But how would you like to be out in the world having these problems and trials with no hope? No hope that's going to get better. All you think there is this life. What is the old saying? Is this all there is? If it is, we ain't got much. Or we haven't got much proper grammar. But we have a lot. We have a whole lot. There's a TV show I started watching a little bit before the feast. My wife got me into it. I just want to talk about it a little bit because it's kind of interesting. It's called The Locator by Terry Dunn. His mother asked him about 20-some years ago to locate her biological parents. So this meant that she was either adopted or she'd been in what? In a system of the county or someone. Okay? So he found them. And he's been doing that for other people ever since. And it's kind of interesting. I've probably watched, it's a half an hour program, I think. Probably around 10 probably programs total. But you know, it takes a mother wanting to find a child that she gave up because she was young and had a child out of wedlock. It has, and they put them back together. Because you see, they're both missing something. They're both missing something. Or you have a brother who finds out he had maybe a twin brother or another brother he had no idea about because he'd been adopted. So he wants to meet him. And this guy goes out and he'll find him. It's a very noble cause when I really think about it. But the thing about it is, we had the same thing. Until Christ, God, called us, we were lost. Something was missing. What was missing? Our Father in our lives. And for some reason, he picked out you and you and you and me to be called. And we should be rejoicing daily when you really think about it. Because when we go to God's feast, he says, come to rejoice. We're here at God's feast, the weekly Sabbath, and we should be rejoicing with each other and with God. Because that's what he says we're to do. He has a real good quote that I thought about. That's Mr. Dunn. In his program, he uses, can't find peace until you find all the pieces. Can't find peace until you find all the pieces. You ever worked a puzzle? Drives you bananas when you can't find those last three pieces, where they go, or five pieces, or whatever, or one's missing. Because you've worked all that time. Putting that puzzle together, and yet you can't finish it. Something's lacking to make that picture or whatever it is perfect. God has given you and me all the pieces. Don't you think the rest of the world would like to have that in their hearts and minds? We have been blessed with all the pieces. Because we know God's holy plan for you and me. And first of all, we know that he gave up his son, John 6:44. That you and I could be here. Or John 3:16, I'm sorry. Okay? But that's why we're here. Because God loves you and me. He picked each and every one of us out specifically. Not because of how great we are. Because not too many of us probably were great before. A few may be. May have been what they figured great, millionaires and them, but they're lacking what you and I have. So if we have any missing pieces now, all we have to do is look into God's Word. He's brought us to where we need to be. God's Word has all the answers. God's Word can lead you and I through everything that happens, and we're definitely going to need more and more every day as we come to the end of time. Because you see, it is coming. How soon? Depends on how long I live, how long you live. Some people lose it when they walk out the door, they die. Time's up. What have we done? What are we doing? Hopefully we're not on a 2-week break. First Peter 2:9, if you'll turn with me there, please. This is something that really needs to be in our hearts and mind all the time. But you are a chosen generation. We are chosen. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar to who? The world around us. The world around us, because they don't understand what we do, why we do, and who we love and who we serve. And ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Each of us have obtained mercy. God's a loving and merciful God, and he loves each and every one of us. In John 14:1-2, if you'd turn there, please. Here's something Christ spoke to the apostles, but he's talking to each and every one of us. He says, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Each and every one of us that he has called, he is preparing a place for us. Your individual place, a mansion. How many here live in a mansion? That's Christ's promise to you and me. If we go forward into God's kingdom. If we go forward into God's kingdom, we have a mansion waiting for us. And can you imagine how beautiful and how great and how marvelous it will be? And can you imagine yourself even living in a mansion? It lets you think a little bit. Meditate a little bit on it. Ask God to help open our thinking so we can see. Let's not get in a box and try to put God in a box that we're in. We sometimes, as people, try to bring God down to our level, our thinking level. He's so far superior to us. We're not even within realm of what he's thinking, what he's doing, and how he does it. We won't be until the time he returns. But that's the hope we have. The faith, hope, and charity in God. Because when we have that love for God, we can't wait to see what the future holds, and not only for a little while, but for eternity. This is not a 100-year period or a 50-year period. It's eternity. And that's hard for you and I even to consider what eternity is in our physical mind. So when we think about that, that shows how far God's mind is above ours and what he's thinking. And we need to think on that sometimes. Because, see, we're just starting. We're just starting. We know that God's word is truth. So anything we read in here is truth. God can't lie. John 17:17 says God is truth. And then we have the other hope that I always like. In Hebrews 13:5, you'll turn with me there. He's telling us, let your conduct or conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Can you say that about anyone else? They will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise from God, as long as we're obeying and doing God's will. We don't have to worry where we're going to be. We're going to be going into God's kingdom. That's where he's directing you and I to every day when we study his word. Every day that we pray, we know who we're praying to. And the nicest thing about it is when we realize that our God predestinated each and every one of us. We're no accident. None of us are accidents. God predestinated each and every one of us. John 8:27, if you'll turn there. Oop, I got the wrong verse. Sorry, I got the wrong verse there. Sorry about that.
Is it Romans 8:29?
Maybe that's what it is. I may have wrote down the wrong scripture. Thank you. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wrote down the wrong scripture. Thank you, Nick. Let's go to verse 27. 27, and be that search the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He makes intercessions for you and me. For whom he did. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So each of us has been called for a purpose. And the purpose is to be in God's kingdom. And he's called us to do a job. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them to he also called, and whom he called them, he also justified. and whom he justified them, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If we're doing God's will, God's going to take care of us. We will not be left behind. We won't be as some of these people that Mr. Dunn was talking about who were orphans or who were left. I had a young lady, was a friend of my daughter's, and she had been, her name was Alice, and she lived in Russia, and she was adopted by a family down below us. He was a fireman, I forget what his wife did, but anyhow, they adopted her. She was about 9 or 10 years old. And she's just a little girl, but a very nice girl, and her and my daughter became good friends, Crystal. And I asked her one time how she ended up in the United States. She said, well, she said, I was about 8 years old. My grandmother told me that she was going to drop me off at this place and she'd pick me up here shortly. It was a place for homeless children. And she never came back. Now, this girl's attitude was wonderful. This family that adopted her, and they're like on a year's probation, I think, somewhere around that area, because they don't have to keep them, I guess, if they don't. But Alice was such a joy to them. And she grew and she loved those as her parents. She said, why would I not want to be here? She said, somebody wants me. My grandmother just left me. As a young child going, like, when she come back? You know, like he said, questions, well, why would she do this? Why? She just wiped it out and said, I'm going forward. And about 9 years later, 10 years later, they put on a beautiful wedding for this girl when she got married. But 2 years later, they took another young lady to adopt. She was about 13. She did not want to be adopted. She did not want to be there. She rebelled. She just gave them all kind of trouble. She did not realize what she had. We always need to realize what we have. We have God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, pulling for each and every one of us. And He'll do anything for us if we obey and follow and do His will. This girl got sent back to Russia before the end of the year. Alice used to talk about it. She says, oh, she just won't do anything they say. She just rebels about everything. We can't be rebellious. We can't be the stiff-necked Israelites that we hear about in the Old Testament. They had learned things the hard way. Hopefully we will not. Hopefully we will say, yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Show me, sir. Forgive me, sir. Help me. Guide me. As one guy said when he was healing, he said, help my unbelief. If there's anything that we don't understand, ask God to help us in our unbelief. Help us in our understanding that we don't understand. Ask. Ask. That's why we have each other. Each week, God wants us to be a family. Families get together, they talk, they talk about everything. They bond. We need to make sure we're bonding. You know the first sign of somebody leaving God's church? I watched it for 48 years. Most of you already know. First of all, you start coming later to church. And then you start leaving a little bit earlier. And you'd think, well, if you want to leave, why don't you just leave? Well, you see, You have to justify what you're doing. We as human beings like to justify. There's a reason why, then it becomes our fault that they don't want to be here early and they don't want to stay later. See, they find a way to justify what they're doing because it makes them feel better, of course, because they can't say they're wrong. None of us like to say we're wrong. That's why God says we have to repent. Then he can work with us. Until we repent of what we're doing or how we're doing it, whatever's wrong, we cannot change. We got to have God's Spirit in us so that we can change and go forward. It's the only way. A lot of us older men say, I can do it. No, you can't. No, you can't, because, see, once your armor is cracked, Satan has a way to get in. That's why God says wear the whole armor. The whole armor of God. You can't just wear half of it, three-quarter of it, nine-tenths of it. Because once the roaring lion finds a way to get at you, he is going to go after you to devour you with everything he's got. And we need to be aware of that, because if we're going to be in God's kingdom, we have to keep God's kingdom first. I'll just mention, because you hear it quite often, Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But what does the last part say? Last part says, and then all these things shall be added to you. Once we have put God first, once we have become righteous like the living God, then we are what? Able to be put in God's kingdom. And all these blessings that he talks about will be ours for eternity. He will bless us while we're here for obedience, but we are going towards the kingdom of God. And there's no kingdom like it. There's no God. There's only one God, the great God, our Father. Jesus Christ is his Son. And because of his death, you and I have an opportunity to be in his kingdom. We've been called, we've been chosen to be in God's kingdom. The kingdom that he has prepared for you and me. He's doing it now. Christ is doing it. The only way that we won't receive that mansion and won't be in God's kingdom is if we quit. If we decide we know more. If we decide I know what's best. God knows what's best because he knows our heart. He knows everything about us and everything around us. He knows what the world's doing now. He hates it, I'm sure. And before long, the world's going to pay for it. The United States used to be the superpower. Now we're the laughingstock of the world. Why? Because we don't do what we say. We're a pushover. And if you don't enforce what you say, don't say it. Our God enforces what he says. He will give us every leeway, every opportunity to repent and change and grow. But if we say, no, I'm not going to do that, and I don't want to do that, and then he will finally what? Say, okay, here's what you get. You get what you asked for. And we have no idea, if we leave what God has given us, what it will be like going back to the dog's vomit. Be worse than the first time. You and I don't want to do that. You and I want to keep God's kingdom and God's way in our focus at all times. Because when we start dilly-dallying right or left, Let's put it like this. If you have a maze, everybody's seen a maze, right? And they have the different corners and all the different little things. You know, God says he knows the beginning from the end. When a maze, somebody knows the beginning from the end, right? Because he made it. God made everything we know. I'm not saying he made the maze, but I'm just using an illustration. So, if we obey God and we follow Christ's example, we can go pretty much straight through this maze and right to the other end into God's kingdom. The only problem is us. See, because us thinks that, well, I'm up here about so far, and hey, yeah, you did. Well, yeah, maybe I'll do that. So you go over here out of the maze, and then you go up in this corner, and then you can't go anywhere, and guess what? You have to go back through that dumb stuff you just came through to get back to where you should have been and start going again. And so we get ourselves straight, and then guess what? Somebody else entices us, and we say, Satan says, oh, yeah, 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 you're good. You're really wonderful. Oh, okay, and I'll go over here. And then we have to work our way back again. I remember an analogy that Bart Bornhorst made one time. I never forgot it. It was probably been 12, 15 years ago. You and I are like a fish swimming upstream. If we quit swimming, you go downstream. Think about it. If you quit studying, if I quit studying, if we quit praying, if we quit putting God first, we're going to go, and then you got to try and swim back up that point again. And it's not easy the second time either. See? So then if you go past that point and all of a sudden you do something again, say, well, I'm tired. That's why I'm saying we must continue heading towards God's kingdom. We can't stop. We can't take a break. We've got to understand, no matter how old we are or how young we are, Christ is just a prayer away. God is just a prayer away. We ask Christ to intervene for us all the time. That's how we get forgiven of our sins. It's not because we're worthy of being forgiven. It's because Christ gave his life, a perfect life, so we all could be forgiven as our sacrifice. He's up there talking to God for us, saying, well, you know, down the world it's pretty tough when you don't, you know, nah. But you see, we're supposed to have the Holy Spirit. So if we're using the Holy Spirit that we received at baptism, let's turn to Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Self-control. That's the fruits that God is giving you and me. When we obey, we will have these fruits living in us daily. And with that, we can go forward to God's kingdom with confidence in every way. Because we know God is there to help us, guide us, direct us, protect us, heal us. Whatever he decides, we are his children. As parents, we know that you love your children dearly. As you'd be willing to give your life for your children. God gave his son, and his son gave his life because his father wanted him to, for us, to become his brothers and sisters. Talk about love. That's why I say we have the joy of being here today. We have the opportunity today to be together as a family supporting one another, loving one another, learning to know each other better so we can truly have that bond of a loving and caring family. That's what our Father wants. He wants to bond with you and me, and he wants us to bond together as a group. So when we pray, we're praying as a group, as a family, coming before him saying, somebody needs help. Somebody's having problems. If you know about somebody, could be having financial problems. People could be having being sick. People could be, you know, all kind of problems. God is there for you and me. But if we as a family grow together, it's not just you crying out to God. We're all crying out for each other. That's called unity. Unity of love. And we need the unity of love in our lives. God wants us to love each other. We're to love God first with all of our heart and all of our might. And once we learn how to love him, we can love others because we have that spirit in us. We have his Holy Spirit. And he wants us to use it every day. Turn with me to Matthew 13:46. This is quite a thing when you realize it. You know, it's talking about the pearl in the field. Let's go back to verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath and buyeth the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Is that how important God is to us? Is God our Father the number one thing in our life? Are we willing to give up everything in this world to obey God? To serve God? To be in his family? That's exactly what we've got to do. God's family is a peculiar people. And guess what? We're peculiar to the world. I'm sure you've had people ask you why you do what you do. That pearl is a pearl that lasts for eternity. That pearl is a life that you and I have an opportunity to be a part of, being in God's kingdom. Let's never forget who's our Father. Who's our brother, and the love they have for you and me. We have approximately 6 months before Passover. So we got 6 months where there's no holy days that we can get truly excited about, you know. Well, we better. We got to eat weekly Sabbath. Every week we should be excited about coming to God's church. Because you see, that's one of the holy days. It's the weekly Sabbath. And who made it holy? Our God. Our God. And what commandment do they want to take out of all the churches? Sabbath. Why? Because, see, it draws you back to God every week. He says, I want to draw my family back together. We need to be together. We need to be with God our Father. And rest and relax. Enjoy each other. Be taught. And to grow in his grace and knowledge. The weekly Sabbath is so important. That's why it's one of the Ten Commandments. You didn't find about the holy days first. You read Ten Commandments, right? And then you found out that what? Oh, here's holy days too. Other holy days. Yearly holy days. Do you remember how excited you were the first time you kept the feast? Remember how you couldn't wait? I was hoping it never end. But after 8 days, they sent me home. I was a single man. I had some money and taking these girls out, and it was wonderful. Had them trapped in a car for two and a half hours of Poconos because they couldn't get out of the parking lot. You know, hey, what more could a single guy ask for? Other people complained about the parking lots. I'm saying, hey, it's fine. Make something good out of all things, right? And I remember the first time we got transferred, because when I first came to church, you weren't allowed to transfer. You remember that? I know a lot of older members were that. They assigned you. Woo, that wasn't always good. Especially went to Poconos. First time I was in Poconos, this will get you. I was assigned a room with a guy I'd never met before, and we slept in a double bed. Whoa! How you like those apples? And not only that, if he fell out off this side, he fell out the door, and if I fell out, I fell in the bathroom. That's how big the room was. So I want to show you what a good attitude I have when they ask if I want that place again next year. I put a no. So I prayed. I said, oh God, give me a big room. Please give me a big room next year. Give me a big room. Don't make the water go scalding hot. The other guy uses it cold and vice versa, because you had time when you went to shower, let me tell you. So I'll never forget, I went to Monominock. Nice older place up in Poconos. I walk in, I mean, we got this big room. Oh, I'm so happy. I said, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. Oh, what, how wonderful it is. You know, oh, man, room. Well, you got to be specific. I got a big room, but the bath and the shower were down the hall. And I was at the one end, of course, so I got to walk the long hall. So I learned then you need to be specific when you ask for something. And I tell you, I've forgotten a couple times in the past, too, and I said, well, I don't know why I'd forget that lesson, but I have at times. So, but when we pray, we need to be specific. God wants us to be specific. He gave me what I asked for. I asked for a big room. I mean, it was a big room. About four times larger, five times larger than what I had the year before. But I forget. I just took it for granted the bathroom and the shower would be there. We cannot take for granted. We have to realize every day is a day that we're to be a doer of God's will, God's way of life. Because as a doer, you and I are what? Being a light to each other and to the world. They're looking out and saying, why is she so happy? Why is he so happy? He just got chewed out with the boss and he's doesn't act like it bothers him, or da-da-da, whatever it could be. Because you see, your world doesn't revolve around the boss. Your world revolves around God. God is to be number one in our life. Our family is to be number two. A lot of times we forget that. We need to always remember, family is number two. God is first. If you got a family, I'm talking about marriage and family, that's number two. And then you serve people in God's church if you can, and you work. It's your job. But that's exactly what God wants out of each and every one of us. And I just want to remind us today, that's what it's all about. I want to remind it, look, we have come out of wonderful time at the feast. We saw what our part is going to be in God's kingdom. Three weeks in, are you still excited? Have you read the notes again? Have you went over the sermons again? Why not? If it's exciting then, why isn't it now? Do we think we learned everything on it the first time we heard it? I don't. I don't know about you. I can probably do it five or six times, maybe 20 times. maybe more. But we do learn more every time we read it or we study it, look up the scriptures. We learn as we study, as we've been in the church for years, as we grow. That's why we grow from being an infant to becoming a teenager to becoming an adult. We're growing, and the only way to grow is to be doing. The people who do nothing have nothing, even in the world. If you don't work and provide, well, you didn't have anything until lately, but anyhow, you would have had nothing. And you know how Satan has deceived the world the biggest way? Think about it. The government has taken place of the church. When I was a kid, if you were poor, if you needed something, you needed help, you went to the church. And the church provided normally. But guess what else you had to do? You had to attend church. Because see, they felt guilty if they didn't attend church and try to get something. And guess what? The family stayed together then, because that's what the church taught. Family stay together. You rough it. You do through it. You don't divorce. Da da da. There were cases for divorce, but I mean, basically, that was almost unheard of when I was a kid. Divorce. You know. But the government took over. Whoopee, whoopee. And guess what? They going to help the families, right? So they start giving people stuff and they don't have to do anything. And then the man doesn't feel worthy and the woman depart. And what do we have? All the divorces. Took time. Didn't happen overnight. But it took time. And because it wasn't going to church and stuff, in the 60s, we got the new generation, the love childs. You know, free love and all that. The first big push to take away from God's family. You don't need to be married. You can live together. Are you kidding me? When I was a kid, that would have been taboo. They'd have been talked to the town, looked down upon, and everything else. So out of shame, they wouldn't do it. A few did. Very few. But now, they say, you mean you're engaged and you're not living together? You know? Well, you know, why do that? Because they don't know God's truth. They don't know the sacred thing that God made marriage. And now we've went to the other extreme. Look where we're at now. Whoa. Now anything's open, right? You got Jenner, who became instant hero, instant star, once he went from a so-called man to a woman. Even when the gays come out, and lesbians, it took years before they were ever accepted. Years. But Bruce Jenner changes from a man, supposedly, to a female, and he has instant fame. That lets me know how quick we're going downhill. We have no morals in this country. You and I have morals because God has opened our hearts and minds. And we have to live in this world that we're in. And we have to come out of it. Because to be in God's kingdom, which He's promised you and me, because He opened our minds and hearts to your truth, that's what we have to do. We know where the pearl is. We know we have to be doers. We know that God has to come first. We know His law is the law. There is no other. God's law is the law. If we don't obey that law, we're obeying the law of sin, which is who? The evil one, Satan. And he deceives in every way he can. I want you to go back with me to Galatians 5 again, if you will. And this time, let's go a few verses above where we find out what the Holy Spirit is. Because you see, the fruits of the Spirit are wonderful. Happiness and joy. In verse 18, it tells you before we get into it, it says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means you're doing what's right, and there's no reason for the law to take effect. As long as you're obeying God. But if we do sin, the law is in effect because we broke one of the laws. Okay? So then we got to repent and change. But if we were perfect and doing everything right, this flesh we will not be. So let's talk about the works of the flesh now in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions. All these things, if you catch yourself doing, you're under the law of Satan, which is destruction. So anytime you want to know if we're doing something right or wrong, Galatians is a good book to look at. If it's under God's law, good deal. God's Spirit will guide and direct you. Because you have the love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Everything that you have of goodness comes from God. And your life will be full. Even through trials, I'm sure all of you have experienced this. Even through trials, when you have a trial, you have, I don't know what you call it, it's a spirit, it must be a spirit in you, gives you peace even though you're around everything that's going, seems like it's going to pot. Because Satan wants to make it look like it's going to pot and there's more going on than what there is. But you seem to have a peace. The world doesn't have that. Because you see, we know where the truth is. And God guides and directs us. And He promises us that He's always there for you and me. He takes us in. And if we study and pray, and if we listen to what He says and we become doers, we'll never have to worry about Revelation 3:10. No one will be able to take your crown away. You have a crown, each and every one of you. I have a crown. Let's be sure we keep it. Let's be sure that we're close to our Father. Let's be sure that we're looking to the future with our God. Let's be sure that we're going to be in God's kingdom. That's what He wants you and I to look forward to. That's why we're running the race. We have to finish the race, though. And to finish the race, we have to sometime get gut-wrenching and go through tough times. And there are tough times coming. Hopefully God is going to be merciful to us as He was to the Israelites when they had to go through what they went through. And after the first three or four things, guess what? The Israelites didn't have to go through it. Hopefully we're going to be in a place of safety at that time. But we may have to go through a little bit of it to test each and every one of us. See, if we're truly, God knows the heart of each and every one of us. And if we know God and are doing God's will, we'll come through it with flying colors. I'm not saying what we're going through is going to be fun, but we will come through it. And that's why we need each other, because we help encourage each other during good times and bad times. That's why we need each other so much. We know where the pearl's at. We know what God has promised us. Let's turn to Revelation, in closing, let's turn to Revelation 21 and see what the holy city that we're looking forward to getting to is. Revelation 21:1. This is where we're trying to get to. This is where we want to live for eternity. This is what God has prepared for us, with mansions in this beautiful and great and huge city. And as he says, I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Whenever you see a bride coming down, doesn't she just look beautiful? Just glimmers and just looks so beautiful. And I guarantee you, the man that's marrying her is one happy guy, and he's smiling from ear to ear because he thinks she's the most beautiful thing that ever walked on the earth. And that's good, because that's going to be his wife. And that's the way he should feel about her. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. He's going to be our God. He's going to be our Father. And we're going to love him. And we're going to be apart with him for eternity. How blessed we are to be called. How blessed we are to be together. Let's not take it for granted. Let's not take each other for granted. Let's not take our Father for granted. Let's not take the calling we have, because we're to be in that wonderful city, the New Jerusalem. Let us continue to love, obey, serve, and be doers of our Father's calling, that we may claim the mansion that Christ told us about, that is waiting for you and me. He's prepared it for us. Let's be sure we finish the race. Let's be sure we endure. Let's be sure we stay close to God. And let no man take our crown, because our crown is waiting in God's kingdom.